So we are looking at some of the metaphors that we have about the Word of God in the Bible. We have looked at a few of them over the past few weeks. We look today at the metaphor of the mirror, the Word of God as a mirror. And this image comes from James chapter 1, verse 22 to 27. So we'll be looking at that. But I've been thinking about mirrors, right? How important mirrors are in life. And I'm reminded of a scene. I think it was, I didn't get time to pursue this and proof check this, but I think it was from Cast Away. You have seen that classic movie where the character is lost at sea, and he's for I think it's a couple of years, and he's gone through this transformation where he's got long hair, he's got beard, he's like lost his weight, and when he's rescued and he comes back to civilization, he's able to see himself in the mirror. And I always wonder like what it must be like to look at himself and see like the kind of transformation that he has gone through. Like he probably wouldn't have been even able to recognize himself in the mirror sometimes, like with all the change that goes through, right? Mirror, of course, it reflects the change that goes through in our life, the transformation that we undergo in life, the growth sometimes. We see things and last week, actually, a friend of mine sent me an Instagram reel. I don't know if that's your friendship language, but that's one of the ways in which we connect with our friends. My friend sent me a reel in which there's a person who lives isolated in a among the tribal community, and he sees a mirror for the first time. And he was you think it's just a normal thing, but he was so like affected by it. Like he thinks it's some kind of magic that he can see himself in the mirror, and it's like it's too drastic for him. Of course, I heard that that's a bit of a that's a staged video, but it made me think about how powerful it is to see oneself in the mirror. Like if you never had the chance, and if you did get the chance to see yourself in the mirror, the unfiltered image. Of course, today we live with phones. We have like selfie cameras. We have like Zoom calls, webcams, so we see ourselves in the mirror all the time, right? But I think if we don't have the chance, if we had never done that, I think it must be quite disorienting to see yourself as another person, like in the mirror, and to see yourself for all the beauty and all the flaws that you might notice in yourself. And so we think about the Word of God that reveals to us who we are. As a mirror, as something that reflects to us who we truly are, how we really look. Not sure if you've been in a situation where you're going out and you catch yourself in the mirror or something, and you're like, you got something on your face or on your clothes, and you're like, why did you, like talk to Vime, like or Vime talks to me, like, why didn't you tell me that I'm looking like this, like, and they'll be like. Of course, you should have looked at yourself in the mirror properly before going out, right? And I think the role of the importance of mirror and, of course, cell phone selfie, all of that, so that we know when we have dirt in our face or in our shirt, when we have something that needs to be corrected. And I think that image of the mirror showing us who we are, how we look, maybe the faults, the sins that may be there in our hearts, the Word of God as a mirror to reveal us for who we truly are. So that's the image, the metaphor that we encounter in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 27. So let me go ahead and read that for us. This is from the New International Version. James chapter 1, verse 22 onward. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, it's like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what it looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So the first bit talks explicitly about the metaphor, the image of the Word of God as the mirror. And for James, the author, the writer of this book, for James, the point of hearing the word, right? To put it very simply, the point of hearing the word is to act, to do something, to put it into practice. James, of course, is quite well known for being the action guy. He's always emphasizing works, your good works, your action, putting things into practice. For him, for example, in another part of his letter, he says that faith without works, if it does not show in your works, faith without works is dead. Like it's as good as dead. So James is this action guy, and for him to listen to the word of God, to read the word of God, the point is to act, to allow that reading and listening to push us into action, right? So just as pointless it is for someone to look in the mirror and see himself, herself, and not do anything about it, forget about it, just as pointless as that is, so also it is pointless to read the word and not act, right? Not do something about it. I think that's a very powerful, that's a very challenging notion to that if we really allow that to sink into our hearts, that the point of reading God's word, the point of listening to God's word is so that we might act on it. The point of looking in the mirror in this metaphor is so that we can clean whatever mess is there, we can deal with whatever is the problem. And so the point of looking at the mirror is that we might go back and act on that. And this made me, I think this is a good opportunity for us to think about how we think of scripture. Like, I wonder how you think of scripture, how you think of reading the word of God. And we do that quite substantially as a community, right? Every Sunday we come here, we have sermons. When we have men's fellowship, women's fellowship, youth, Bible study, we are always looking at the word of God. We are listening to the word of God. We're reading the word of God in our own private moments as well. We might be reading God's word. We might be listening to one another talk about God's word. And when we do that, I wonder how you think about our response, right? What are we supposed to do with all the engagement with the word of God? Do we think like James, who is quite outright and says that the point is to act, to act on the word that we have received or we engage with every day? There's a famous quote, dictum by an old theologian, Anselm. He says, faith seeking understanding. Like theology or the life of faith, according to him, is faith seeking understanding. Understanding, okay? And often that dictum has been misunderstood to think that faith, theology, all of that is about understanding, about doctrines and about concepts, right? Having the right concepts in our head, having the right ideas about faith, about theology. And of course, that is important. But in recent, in world Christianity, which is the subject that a couple of us are involved in our PhD, in our teaching, in other parts of the world, a lot of theologians came up and emphasized that no, faith is about action. Like the word of God, fellowship, sermons, all of that is to inspire not just correct understanding, but also correct action, correct lifestyle, right? Some would say to inspire transformation in our lives. So it's not just faith seeking understanding. It should also be faith seeking action, faith seeking transformation in our lives. I hope you understand. We look at the mirror not just to understand and have the right doctrines about God and about life, but as James says, we look at the mirror so that it moves us to act and to be transformed in our lives, in our everyday lives, right? And I think that's quite a powerful thing to think about in relation to our faith. James is quite strong in his language. He says, where is it that he says, in the first line, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. He says, if we are just looking at the mirror and not acting on it and not seeking transformation, then he's like, outright, you're deceiving yourselves. You are just, like the man who looks in the mirror and goes away and forgets about it, in the same way he's deceiving himself. To not do what the word of God says is to deceive ourselves. But to those who actually do it, in the last sentence of verse 25, they will be blessed in what they do. There is true blessing comes from acting and seeking transformation as we engage with God's word. For James, just to summarize, it is engaging with the word of God, listening to the word of God is for action, to do, for so that our works and our lives may be impacted and be transformed. I was thinking about the phrase left me on read, on when you message these days, you get a chance to see if somebody has read or not, read your message or not. It's almost like God gives us message and we leave it on read. Like we don't respond, we don't act on it, we just take it and then and then move on. And if you have done it, if you have left others on read, or if you have been left on read, you know how frustrating it can be when you want action, when you want something to be done about something that you're requesting. To be left on read is not ideal. I wonder if that's what we do as well when you read God's word. We leave God on read and we just leave it there. We don't engage any longer. We don't, and wonder. I wonder if that's frustrating to God, if I may put it that way. For James, the point is to act. The point is to address and to clean the face, as the metaphor goes, because the mirror shows where the faults are, the sins are, the mistakes are. The mirror shows the things to be celebrated, and so it calls us to act and to respond. As he goes on, as James goes on in verse 26, it's almost like he switches the topic completely, because he starts talking about speaking, about tongues. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Why is there, it's almost like, why is James switching to a different topic? Like, is he just jumping around topic? I think what James is trying to say here is that when God's word as the mirror shows us who we are, it reminds us of the things that we need to control, reminds us of the things that we need to keep a rein on. It reminds us that we need God's grace. We need God's forgiveness, God's cleansing and transformation. And so we are more controlled, we are more restrained in our expression. We restrain the things that are coming out from the heart, because we know the mistakes, the sinfulness of our hearts, that the Word of God reveals to us. And of course, positively, when the Word of God as a mirror shows us our shortcomings and who we are in front of God, it also sends us to do the right thing, the works of compassion, which is to look after the vulnerable in the society, to take care of those who are helpless, to take care of those who are in need. So the Word of God, in summary, what it does, it gives us self-knowledge. It helps us to diagnose, to understand where we stand, who we are. It also pushes us to be to discipline, to control our expressions, our words, our actions, in our behaviors, and it directs us to do the right thing, to do the compassionate thing. And so the Word of God is not just something we look, the mirror is not just something we look at and move away. The Word of God as a mirror is something that we engage with to give us self-knowledge. What are we supposed to do? Who are we? How do I become more godly? How do I act in compassion in this life? And so it diagnoses us, it disciplines us, and also it directs us to the right direction. The mirror shows us where we need to work on. The mirror shows us where we are falling short. And the mirror shows us which aspect in our life, in our community, that needs cleaning or cleansing. And so having seen that, having that self-knowledge pushes us to go and do and to act in rightly in this world. I'd like to push this notion of self-knowledge a little bit more and not just leave it at self-knowledge, because when we look at God's Word, God's Word as a mirror showing us who we are, it's based on the fact that God knows us. Okay, like it's based on the idea that God sees us through and through. This is not just the Word, but it's the Word of God. And the Word of God, God as somebody who knows us, it's not just us who comes to a better knowledge of ourselves when we look at the Word of God. When we look at the Word of God, we realize that God actually knows us better than we even know ourselves. God actually sees us more clearer than we even see ourselves. And I want us to look at one text, Psalm 139, where this notion is very beautifully captured. And I just want us to really soak in this beautiful psalm, okay, as we read it, because it's such a powerful psalm. And it really speaks to this notion that we are known by God. And the Word of God gives us self-knowledge because it is the Word of somebody who knows us so well, who loves us so deeply, right? And so I just want to us to really soak in as we read Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Again, such a remarkable psalm that speaks about how God knows us, how God knows us better than we know ourselves. Even before we know ourselves, God knows us. And so the Word of God gives us self-knowledge because it is the Word of God who knows us, who loves us, right? Who loves us in a way that completely baffles our understanding. To put it another way, the Word gives us truthful self-knowledge by placing us before the one who already knows us. When we encounter the Word of God, when we look at the mirror, it's not just an abstract piece of book that we encounter. We are placed, we have an opportunity to encounter the God who loves us, the God who knows us supremely. And that is why it's a powerful mirror. That's why it's a powerful a scalpel, as a metaphor that we looked at a few weeks back, that cuts into the depths of our hearts and exposes the darkness. The language that the psalmist uses in verse 12, even the darkness, where the things that we may not even know about ourselves, that even that place is not darkness for God. For God, it is light. For God, He can see and He knows. Whether that's deceit or whether that's hiddenness, whatever it may be, God sees us and knows us. The Spirit of God, of course, who lives in us and who is alive and who works through the Word of God, the Spirit of God knows us deep inside. The Word of God and the Spirit of God As we saw last week, through the metaphor of the sword of the Spirit, the Spirit reads us when we listen to the Word of God, when we engage with the Word of God. It reveals the intentions, the attitudes of our hearts. It's like double-edged sword or the scalpel in surgery that can open and reach into places where the blunt tools cannot reach, essentially. It is sharp, it is precise, it can expose what is deep inside in our hearts. So God knows us intimately. The metaphor that we reflected on, the fitness health tracker that we have in our phones or in our devices, it knows our patterns. It sees where we've been, it sees how many steps we've taken. In many ways, we cannot hide it, we cannot hide from it, we cannot lie, we cannot make it up. It reads us and it points out where sometimes we miss the goals that we have made for ourselves, for example, and encourage us. We can't fool the data. In the same way, or in a more supreme way, of course, God sees us and knows us better than we know ourselves. Hebrews chapter 4, which was where we looked at a few weeks back, His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one can resist God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. So it knows, it reads us, and it tells us who we really are. It's the ultra high definition kind of version of mirror that we can think of. It shows us who we really are. And this is crucial because we know that we can be self-deceptive. Just like the psalmist says, there are places that in our lives, in our hearts, say to use a metaphor, where there's darkness and we would leave it dark. And in fact, the prophet, Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, he's quite blunt. This is what he says. He says, the heart is deceitful above all else. Prophet Jeremiah was active among the people of Israel, and he's quite brutally honest in his assessment that the heart, the human heart, can be deceitful. It can hide. It can pretend like everything's okay, or it can give excuses. But the Word of God exposes all of that. It diagnoses what is in the depths of our heart. And I think the point here is that it is a relief. It is a joy to trust in a God who knows us intimately, who knows us and loves us intimately. And it is a relief and a joy that we are not sending our data to somebody that we don't trust. It is a relief and a joy that it is a God who loves us and who is working out for our good, right? And so when we engage the Word of God, when we look at the mirror of the Word of God, we are placed in front of a God who loves us and who knows us and who is working for our good. And so James calls us to not just look, but to obey and to follow what it shows us, what the Word of God shows us, because that is for our good, that is for our transformation. So let's try and bring this all together. Again, to come back to the question that we started with, what do you think about the Word of God? How do you engage with the Word? How do you approach the Word of God? Do you approach it simply just to gather information? And all of these are not necessarily wrong answers. They're all right answers in their own terms. But it cannot just be about gathering information. It cannot just be about having the right doctrines. It cannot just be to fulfill a routine, although again, that's an important part of the rhythm. It cannot just be to gain insights about ourselves and God's will. It must also be about standing before the God who knows us fully and to be able to say, okay, where do I need to work on? Like, what area in my life do I need God's discipline, God's guidance, God's direction? To gain insights about ourselves, about God's will, and to stand before God who knows us fully. I think it's very easy because we do this Word of God thing Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and it's easy to be flippant and to forget that what we have in the Word of God is the powerful encounter with the God who knows us. But I think this word, the message today reminds us that this is what happens when we read the Word of God. It's a mirror that looks into our soul. To know ourselves as we are known by God, and to know what we ought to do as God desires for us. The Word of God diagnoses us, it disciplines us, and it directs us. And sometimes we might be like that character in Castaway. We look at ourselves and like, oh gosh, I can hardly recognize myself. What's going on here? And when that happens, that is a call for us to assess and to see where the need is to be corrected, to be disciplined, and to move into more obedience in our lives. So let us choose to act in obedience and to seek God's will, even as we continue to engage God's word in our own homes and our own private lives, in the church, in the fellowships, wherever it is that we get the opportunity to listen and to hear God's word. Let us pray. I want to give some time to be silent in prayer and just for you to search your hearts and whatever it is that that stands out for you. And then we'll close with, I'll pray and then we'll close with the prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you did not leave us as orphans in this world, but you give us the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in this community, in your community of faith, who teach us and who reads us, who understands us, who prays on our behalf, and who prompts us to a life of transformation. And we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, the witness of your people through history, and also the Word of God that comes to us through this community of believers. We thank you for the opportunity to share in mutual edification, to share in this great privilege of speaking, witnessing to one another. And we thank you, Lord, that we have each other, and we have your Word, and we have you. Lord, help us that we might be people who look at your word, who listen to your word, and are doers of your word. Help us to be wise. Help us to be receptive, and to be to look to you and to be always attentive to what you are saying to us in your word and through each other. We thank you, Lord, for this prayer, for this time of meditation. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the mirror that is available for us.